Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 31, and we're going to go right on into 2 Samuel chapter 1. So 1 Samuel, the last chapter, and then the first chapter of 2 Samuel. This is God's word. "The Philistines fought against Israel, and Israel's men fled from them and were killed on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines pursued Saul and his sons and killed his sons Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. When the battle intensified against Saul, the archers found him and severely wounded him. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword and run me through with it, or these uncircumcised men will come and run me through and torture me.' But his armor bearer would not do it because he was terrified. Then Saul took his sword and fell on it. When his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So on that day, Saul died together with his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men. When the men of Israel on the other side of the valley and on the other side of the Jordan saw that Israel's men had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned the cities and fled. So the Philistines came and settled in them. Next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons dead on Mount Gilboa. They cut off Saul's head, stripped off his armor, and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to spread the good news in the temples of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths and hung his body on the wall of Beth-shan. When the residents of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their brave men set out, journeyed all night, and retrieved the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beth-shan. When they arrived at Jabesh, they burned the bodies there. Afterward, they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days." 2 Samuel chapter 1. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed at Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man with torn clothes and dust on his head came from Saul's camp. When he came to David, he fell to the ground and paid homage. David asked him, "Where have you come from?" He replied to him, "I've escaped from the Israelite camp." "What was the outcome? Tell me," David asked him. "The troops fled from the battle," he answered. "Many of the troops have fallen and are dead. Also, Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." David asked the young man who had brought him the report, "How do you know Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," he replied. "And there was Saul leaning on his spear. At that very moment, the chariots and the cavalry were closing in on him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me, so I answered, 'I'm at your service.' He asked me, 'Who are you?' I told him, 'I'm an Amalekite.' Then he begged me, 'Stand over me and kill me, for I'm mortally wounded, but my life still lingers.' So I stood over him and killed him, because I knew that after he had fallen, he couldn't survive. I took the crown that was on his head and the armband that was on his arm, and I've brought them here to my Lord." Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and all the men with him did the same. They mourned, wept, and fasted until the evening. for those who died by the sword. For Saul, his son Jonathan, the Lord's people, and the house of Israel. David inquired of the young man who had brought him the report, "Where are you from?" "I'm the son of a resident alien," he said. "I'm an Amalekite." David questioned him, "How is it that you were not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David summoned one of his servants and said, "Come here and kill him." The servant struck him and he died. For David had said to the Amalekite, "Your blood is on your own head, because your own mouth testified against you by saying, 'I killed the Lord's anointed.'" David sang the following lament for Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered that the Judahites be taught the Song of the Bow. It is written in the book of Jeshar. "The splendor of Israel lies slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen. Do not tell it in Gath. Don't announce it in the marketplaces of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, and the daughters of the uncircumcised will celebrate. Mountains of Gilboa, let no dew or rain be on you, or fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul no longer anointed with oil. Jonathan's bow never retreated. Saul's sword never returned unstained from the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty. Saul and Jonathan, loved and delightful, they were not parted in life or in death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxurious things, who decked your garments with gold ornaments. How the mighty have fallen in the thick of battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were such a friend to me. Your love for me was more wondrous than the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war have perished." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Several years ago, I was talking with a college president at a Christian school about the fact that Scripture doesn't have any errors in it. And he said, "I just don't believe that." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, it seems to me that there are errors in the Bible." And I said, "Well, can you show me one?" And he said, "Well, for example, the book of 1 Samuel says that Saul fell on his own sword and ended his life that way. And then the very next chapter in the book of 2 Samuel, it says that he was killed by an Amalekite." And I said, "No, let's look at the text. We have just heard the text. Does it say that Saul fell on his sword in 1 Samuel chapter 31? Did he fall on his sword and end his life that way? Yes, that is the record. That is what happened. Well, does 2 Samuel chapter 1 say that he was killed by an Amalekite? No. It says that an Amalekite came and claimed to have finished him off. It does not say that the Amalekite was telling the truth. It says the Amalekite boasted of having killed King Saul, thinking that he's bringing David good news, because for 8 years, Saul has been chasing David all over the place trying to kill him. And so this is now a relief. Yeah, it's true, the army suffered a great loss, but the good news is the guy who was trying to kill you is dead. Okay? Are you happy? How do you know he's dead? I finished him off. He was already wounded, but I killed him. David says, "Then you're a dead man. Your own mouth convicts you. You claim to have killed this man. He was the Lord's anointed." And then David not only mourns him, but songwriter that he was, David wrote a song And he commanded that the song be taught to the Judahites. They must learn the song of the bow. It is written in the book of Jashar. Now, there are several things about this story that we want to see this morning. First of all, I want to again point out there is not a contradiction between the last chapter in 1 Samuel and the first chapter in 2 Samuel. What there is a record of what happened compared to what someone else said happened. Not a contradiction. This is what happened, and then you've got a young man who shows up and claims that it didn't happen exactly that way. Actually, he was the one who killed Saul. And he pays for that lie with his life. Does that seem like an extreme penalty? What if he had said, I didn't really do it? Too late. How serious is it to kill the king, to kill the Lord's anointed? Well, it's very, very serious. Not okay to, quote, finish somebody off. Well, he was going to die anyway. But killing people who are dying is not mercy killing, it's murder. And we're living in a culture that is wrestling right now with that. It is not okay. Well, who are you to judge? I'm not. God is. Well, what about my dear dog, Fido? If Fido has cancer and he's suffering, my aunt says it was okay if we just take him to the vet and let the vet give him a shot to cause his heart to stop so that he doesn't suffer anymore. Is that murder? No, that's called putting your dog down. Well, what makes it okay to do that to a dog and not okay to do it to grandma? Well, there actually is an enormous difference between humans and animals. And we are living in a culture that doesn't want to recognize that. We're living in a culture where there are government officials who really struggle with which is more valuable. Well, can't we be kind to the environment? Yes, we should. But when we look at the decisions we have to make continually, we better know the difference between people and animals, because they're not the same thing. And by the way, you are a unique creation. God designed you as the crown of creation. Humanity is supposed to rule over creation. You are not an accident. God formed you in your mother's womb. And he has a plan for you, and his plan is good. God cares about you. God cares for the animals as well. He feeds the animals. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's notice. But Jesus said, you're worth more than a whole bunch of birds. Your life is not just another animal. People matter.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. Saul, already wounded, takes his own life. And David, rather than rejoicing, mourns, grieves, weeps, because he recognizes, even though Saul was insane and wicked and had been trying to kill him for 8 years, he was still the king. And his death represented a great, hard blow to the kingdom. Furthermore, he'd lost his best friend because Saul's son, Jonathan, was not just a great warrior. He was a great friend to David. David said his friendship meant more than the love of women. David was not in love with Jonathan, but he loved Jonathan. David knew the difference between caring deeply for someone and being sexually attracted to that person. Our culture has lost that. And many of the people in our culture who end up confused about right and wrong and thinking that somehow their life partner needs to be a member of the same sex have never really understood friendship or sex. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Jesus was asked about divorce, and he said, God's plan was one man, one woman. That's the plan. Not one man, five women, or one man, two women. One man, one woman, joined till death do us part. So David loved Jonathan, and Jonathan loved David. But it was not, there's not a hint anywhere in Scripture that it was something sexual. We grow up in a culture where everything is about sex. And that's tragic. I want you to understand that God's plan is perfect. And sin brings death. You violate God's plan, it doesn't end well. Sooner or later, you have to face him. And there are tragic consequences. God's law is because of God's love. He's not trying to spoil your fun. He's protecting you. I've known so many people who made shipwreck of their lives because they thought the rules didn't apply to them. They thought it was okay for them to do it. It'd be safe for them because they had good reflexes. They were smarter than other people. Let me tell you something. If you think the rules don't apply to you, you're going to discover through painful consequences that you are mistaken. I've known too many addicts who thought that they'd be safe, they'd be okay, they could manage it, they could handle it. Don't touch that. It's hot. That's what people who love you tell you. So God's law is for our good. It is for our good. It is for the good of others. You think you can drink and then drive because you're so despairing that you don't care if something bad happens to you? I've known people who thought that way, and what happened to them was that they killed someone else. And then they have to live with that. I'll tell you, God's law is an expression of his love. So, David had already been anointed as king. David had already been promised the kingdom. But when Saul, who had been trying to kill him, dies, David mourns. And he doesn't just sing about what a great warrior and what a great friend Jonathan was. He says, verse 22, Jonathan's bow never retreated. Saul's sword never returned unstained. He's saying Saul was a great military hero. Saul and Jonathan, loved and delightful. They were not parted in life or in death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxurious things, who decked your garments with gold ornaments. What's he doing? He could have written a song about crazy Saul, about Saul who was unjust. Twice in 1 Samuel, we have the record of how David could have killed Saul when Saul was trying to kill him, and instead he spared his life. But he not only spared his life, now he honors his memory because he's focused on the good stuff. He's rejoicing in the positive and encouraging others to do the same. We've said before that what it means to honor your father and mother is to live a life that will bring them honor, to do things and live in such a way that people will say, you must have had great parents. Well, what if your parents have really messed up? What if they've done bad stuff? There's a famous Hollywood actor whose father was a hitman for the mob. Most of the time when he's growing up, his dad was not there. His dad was in prison because his dad was convicted of killing a bunch of people for the mafia. And he admitted it. And he served years in prison. Well, what do? You write a song about my daddy the killer and try and grow up to be just like him? No, if you want to do the right thing, you focus on anything good, anything praiseworthy, anything true. You focus on the good stuff. How are you going to get through this life with a positive outlook if you're focused on the negative, if you're telling everybody about all the bad all the time? Is there anything good? Is there anything praiseworthy? Focus on those things. That's what God tells us we should do. Does that mean we don't tell the truth about the bad stuff? No. It means we don't focus on the bad stuff. David was writing a song that was to be repeated. And he says, when we talk about this person, this is what I want you to remember. This is what I want you to hold on to. Try and hold on to the good stuff. For some of you, that is more of a challenge than for others. But for all of us, it is the right thing to do.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.